welcome one and all once again to Nerds on the Rocks episode 95. We're coming from you once again on a Thursday afternoon on this fine May day. Joining me this week, we have Anthony.
Good day, gentlemen.
I thought you were going to do a Darth Vader quote with your new icon.
We have
Wesley.
Yellow.
And we have Nicholas.
Hey, y'all. You hear Peter Griffin got a mustache? I know!
I also hear he's going to fight the chicken again in the season finale.
Oh, no!
But that is neither here nor there.
Bruce is my favorite character on Family Guy. And I don't even like Family Guy anymore, but Bruce is awesome.
But this week we're going to be discussing movie choice. And this is actually a topic that came up, at least to me, after our recent Avengers podcast, where we're talking about like how well of a job that the movie promotion team did with that without actually spoiling anything major.
Freaking killer job.
And, you know, it is a tough act with movie choice because you do have the tendency where a lot of movie choices end up either spoiling too much or... Sometimes it can end up misleading the audience.
And yeah, but you actually get some trailers that show you bits from like the end of the movie. But if it's out when it's in the trailer, it's out of context. So when you see the trailer, you don't know it's from the end of the movie until you've actually sat through the movie. So since there's not much, it's like with the Avengers was a bit like that actually because it was all out of. The trailer shows quite a bit from that, like, 40-minute battle at the end, but because there wasn't really, like, much context to it. It didn't spoil it, did it? So.
And it didn't show a lot of the money shots either, which is that bothered me about a recent commercial where they showed, it was for the Avengers, and they showed the moment where after the Thor and Hulk take down the big snake thing, where Hulk just kind of cold cocks him out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, they showed that in the trailer. I'm like, that's the best part! Like, what is the point of that?
That's why I avoided TV spots, because TV spots show all the cool shit, because they're in a shorter time slot and a more wider audience. So
usually what they do is that they're pretty good with it leading up to it. It's like once the movie's out and they start promoting the best, you know, like the highest grossing movie of the year, the number one movie, then they start putting in stuff where they assume people already saw the movie.
And then it's fair game.
The girl I'm dating said, well, they figured that'll get people in to see it. I'm like, it's just a little thing. It's not a plot point. I'm like, yeah, but that's one of those things where you see it, and people are like, oh, that's cool, and then you spend the entire movie waiting for it.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that bothers me about trailers giving stuff away. If it's something really cool, you'll spend the entire movie waiting for it. Like, example, release the Kraken or something like that.
Release the Kraken!
And I sometimes say that's a sign of a bad movie to me. It's like at times when you're watching a movie, like, I haven't seen that part from the trailer yet. And you just, because at that point you realize you're not in the movie, you're just kind of waiting for these cool set pieces that got you to see it in the first place.
It's no Battleship right now, which the trailer's pretty much filled with stuff that, no matter even if you see the trailer, you really don't care.
Yeah, I mean,
Christopher Nolan's actually quite clever, because he uses takes in trailers, and then he uses completely different takes in the final cut of the movie, so like, it's more of a surprise to you, which is like quite smart.
I was going to bring up Pixar, because Pixar has a tendency not necessarily, but usually like the teaser trailer isn't actually anything from the movie.
Did they still do that? Because I know they used to do it for like Monsters, Inc. and then
they did it for
Finding Nemo.
They did for Incredibles.
Finding Nemo, the scene, they did it, but the scene was actually in the movie, but it was like a slightly different version of it.
I know what you mean though, Will. Like they made like a special scene just for the trailer.
Like I think the Incredibles one is the one where Mr. Incredible is trying to not fit into his suit. I think it's the one where he's trying to fit into his suit, right?
Yeah, that's it.
And I think that scene's in the movie, but it's done completely different, or the scenes that are, you know, in the teaser that aren't in it. Sometimes you get it the other way.
I think the scenes are a lot shorter in the final film as well, I think. Like, I think in the film, it's like one shot when he's trying to get on his belt, whereas of the scene, the trailer, it lasts for about...
It's the entire trailer. It's like, I think there's like a machine and he keeps on getting stuck in it or something like that. I don't remember the Brave teaser, so I couldn't tell you. Nor have I seen the movie.
The Brave trailer was actually, from what I remember, they did use actual like movie footage, but they just kind of tweaked with it a little. Not from what I remember of the Brave teaser trailer. I think they did similar to what they did with The Incredibles, just tweaked with it a bit. And then he actually started getting the more official footage as the trailer go on. Because Pixar, what they do is they show closer, more material as it gets closer to the movie release. They show a little more, and then like a month or so before the release, then they're like, okay, let's flood some more material out here and let's see what they think. And
yeah, I feel like the Brave trailer gives away too much.
They don't really give away too much. I think what they give a lot more of the idea of their family and just what they're all about more than anything, because really all you know is initially it's girl going trailer, like, no, they just basically give you the family simulation, but they don't really tell you like it's a small smattering movie. I don't really think it gives away that horribly much in comparison to most other movies out there.
It could be, because it's kind of a new product from Pixar, you know. It's not it's not another sequel to Toy Story or a sequel to Cars. It's like a new story. So
exactly.
They need to show you a little bit more from the film to try and sell it to audiences a bit
there
better.
You go.
Rather than just say, here's Toy Story 4, you know what's going to happen. You know, what I mean?
It's like Toy Story 3, there you go, it's a trilogy. You're going to go see this. I mean, it's not, and also Pixar is coming off of Cars 2. And Cars 2 was nearly, though it still made money, it was still one of their films that they're still having to recover off of. So they're going to play Brave very carefully compared to what they've done with other stuff.
Okay. I mean, what about that teaser choice? I know people have issues with them, because I know some people think teaser choice should be like a mini trailer, but then some of them are just like a actual teaser. Like, if I remember the X-Men 2 one, it's just like a logo.
Yes.
Voiceover.
Do you know what teaser trailers should be like? The Dark Knight one, when it's the symbol, like, not the Dark Knight Rises, the one for the Dark Knight, it's like, I think it's like the bat symbol, ain't it, and it's stuff's crumbling and it's coming towards the screen, and then you've got Bruce Wayne talking to Alfred as narration, and then right at the end you get a bit from the Joker, and then you get like the Joker card flying towards the screen, and it's just you see like no footage of the film, but it's such an awesome teaser trailer, because that's exactly what it does. It teases you for the film, and then
That was a killer teaser, too.
I think that's what it's supposed to be. People kind of expect them to be, like, mini, like, one-minute trailers as opposed to, like, a two-and-a-half-minute trailer. Because, I mean, part of the... I've seen a lot of feedback like this as far as the Dark Knight Rises promotion goes is that the trailers don't give people enough answers. People are complaining that they don't know what's happening in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's a good thing because you don't want to know what's happening in the movie.
It's very good.
I was kind of trying to make this point the other week when we did Avengers, whereas I think some audiences now, they need to see a lot of the movie before they go and sit down in the movie, which is why I don't think some people like the Dark... I mean, I like the Dark Knight Rises trailers, but people need to see more footage of it to justify going into the cinema and sitting down and watching it.
Yeah, but I think it also varies, because this is the third movie, it's a trilogy, so you kind of know what to expect. It's not like a change cast, then change directors. I assume most of the core, you know, cinematographers and,
this is still low, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a lot of it hasn't changed, so it's not like you need to sell them on, like, okay, this is going to be a good movie. And the idea is you don't want to ruin the movie, you want to get people excited to go in there and check it out. Like, I'm sure some of the stuff, like you said before, is probably from the climax of the movie.
Yeah.
We just don't know that until we actually see the movie.
Theoretically, all they needed to do for Christopher Nolan, for the final Christopher Nolan Batman movie, really would have just been Christopher Nolan, final movie of the Batman trilogy, and then a picture of Bane. He's going to make this work. July.
Yeah, that's awesome. Also,
and not like Bane in the movie. I mean like Bane from the animated series episodes.
Yes. That would be awesome.
Picture that. And still photo. Robert. He's going to make this work.
And also the neat thing is, I mean, and people are like, well, we don't like really, like, people are sort of like going, you know what, does it look a little bit weirder than, like, kind of weird how the Bane designs are, like, yeah, but you know what, let's see how it goes. I think the trailer, and actually this recent trailer that aired before Avengers, I mean, it did reveal much more than the last one, but not that much more.
Yeah, just to say, like, I mean, coming out of it, like, you know, Batman's in it, you know, Bane, you know, Catwoman, you know, he goes missing for some period of time, but, like, other than that, you don't really know the beats.
Yeah. You just know, here's Bane with Batman, here's Catwoman with Batman, da-da-da, da-da-da.
Yeah, like, you know certain stuff happened, but you don't have any idea of when. And I think that, because there are movies, and I feel like, I don't know a recent example, but they kind of give you a teaser, and it's a trailer, and it's pretty much sequential, like,
yeah,
started off this way, and then this happens, and then find out how it all computes. I'm like, you've pretty much given me the first three-fourths of the movie. Why am I going to pay you for the last quarter of it now?
Romantic comedy trailers are the most notorious ones for this. They reveal pretty much nearly the entire movie in a trailer. It's like, here.
Yeah, I was going to get to that because we've mostly been talking about action movies. But yeah, I think each genre also has to be cut differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like comedies, for example, I find the biggest issue with their trailers is you have to show the audience that you're going to be funny and going to have humorous moments. But sometimes what ends up happening is you give away your best moments in...
Yeah.
The trailers,
like all the really funny stuff, all the funny gags,
So it doesn't have the same punch when you actually see the movie in theaters.
Well, talking about trailers that were shot specifically to be trailers, you got look at the Anchorman one that was just put on The Dictator. That was shot literally like a couple weeks ago. Once they got the green light for the Anchorman sequel, they had all the guys together just hanging out. They're like, hey, we got it all together. Let's do a real quick thing. And they just shot a quick thing where they just put them in costume and had them say stuff.
Is that for Anchorman 2? Is it the same cast with, like, Steve Carell and Paul Rudd? Oh, awesome. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, and they're still writing the movie. They haven't even, like, finished writing it yet. But they're like, no, this is going to be a big thing. People want to see this. Let's do this thing.
Yeah. Well,
and,
the people can wait.
Yeah, and they're notorious for doing stuff like we talked about with Christopher Nolan, where they have stuff in the trailers that aren't in the movie. Because,
or different takes of it.
Yeah, because with comedies, so it's so easy to like cut one gag out and then like that changes the whole rhythm of everything, or like taking a different take or something like that. Like in Step Brothers is for an example, which I love the shit out of that movie. I actually would say behind Anchorman, that's my favorite Will Ferrell movie. That there's a shot in one of the trailers where they talk about, he says, have you guys seen it?
No, I haven't seen it, no.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's a movie where...
I've seen all Step Brothers, so we're cool.
Yeah, where they're where Will Ferrell is burying John C. Reilly alive. And in the trailer, he's just throwing dirt on it. He's like, Brandon, why are you doing this? He's like, I'm burying you! He's like, but no one will ever find out. That's not in the movie. I just love the way Will Ferrell said it, and then the scene came around and I'm like, but it's not there, but this is still funny, what's wrong with me?
Yeah, and if it works, it works. I was going to say another thing that I think happens sometimes with comedies is sometimes they can mislead audiences, because there are movies that are kind of promoted as comedies. I don't know if because they don't know how to promote the movie, or they think that selling it as a comedy is easier to get people in. But I know people had issues with stuff like Man of the Year.
I don't even know what
this... Man of the Year is like the Robin Williams political satire movie.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Well, it's promoted like that, but it does end up taking a dark turn.
Oh,
I think Funny People is like that as well.
Is it Father of the Year?
No. What was it? Movie? Man of the Year.
Yeah, it was Man of the Year. It was that goofy... Okay. Yeah, I remember the movie you're talking about.
Yeah.
Is that the one that Bobcat Goldthwait directed?
I have no idea. Let's find out. But yeah, it's like Robin Williams, and he's like, it's basically like what happens if a comedian ran for president of the United States.
Okay, not the one I'm thinking of then. All right, yeah, never mind.
Yeah, and it ended up being like this really dark, political satire. I think one person for me was Kick, which again was kind of promoted as a comedy, and it turns out to be a very morbid tale about human life.
It's a comedy. It's a comedy, but see that you're conflating a comedy that has dramatic moments in it.
Yeah, but the whole back half of it kind of turns dark.
Yeah, but then you're talking about like it's still a comedy ostensibly. You're talking about stuff where they take a movie that is one thing and advertise another, like Drive, would be a perfect example.
Drive would be another one. It's gonna be but I don't want any spoilers in it because I want to watch that tonight.
Well, we'll just say it's not an action movie.
It's not Fast and the Furious.
It's not Fast and the Furious, as we found out from the lawsuit.
It's very sedate and very measured and very intense. Uh-huh. It's all about tension, and it's awesome. But another one, Dark Shadows.
Yeah, I've heard that they've cut the trailer together, so there's gags in the trailer that just aren't in the film at all, and the film isn't as much as a comedy as what the trailer makes you believe. I mean, I've not seen the film, and I don't plan on watching it because...
I'm afraid of that movie.
Yeah.
Be very afraid. But yeah, has anybody actually seen it, or is it just based on reviews?
I've had a few friends that have watched it, and someone said it was horrible, it was stupid, but good lord, I actually had some fun during this stupid movie. And then the reviews have been, some people said worst movie I've ever seen in my life. Other people have said it wasn't great, but it entertained me. So mix is an under, that mix is very a good word for that movie.
Okay.
I'm just wondering why, as I look at the poster, I'm just wondering why everyone's pale. Like, I know I don't, like, Johnny Depp's pale because he's supposed to be a vampire, and then Eva Green's like a witch, so that's fair enough. But everyone else is as well, and it's like...
I thought it was like a vampire family, or...
No,
it's just Depp that's a vampire, isn't it?
It's just Depp that's a vampire, it's the Collins family. I've seen some of the episodes of the stupid soap opera it's based off of, so I know a tiny bit about this, but...
It's based off of his soap opera. I already know nothing about this movie.
Because nobody watched
I saw a good chunk of it, at work. That the commercials all presented as being this like lighthearted comedy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is comedic elements, but it's more melodrama. It's very much of a key to the actual soap opera, where like
that's
the comedy is just all like, hey, the 70s was funny, wasn't it? Ha! But it's like there's a lot of melodrama and like over the top soap opera bullshit in it.
Okay. What about dramas? Dramas, again, are decent in their trailers, but I think they're also hard movies to sell because you do kind of need to get that emotional beat in there. And sometimes taking scenes out of context doesn't work as well.
I think with dramas, you just have to get the basic premise across, and that's all that really needs. Because, again, with dramas, it's all about the interactions and, like, you know, the reasons for things that are happening. It's... I don't know. Some of them it's different because you have to have like the
Nick, we still have 5-year engagement tomorrow.
The plot of everything, but I don't know.
I would say most dramas are it's pretty much like I'm gonna use a horrible example here, but like the stupid Nicholas Sparks movies. I mean, pretty much it's drama, teary eyed moment. Drama, 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 ha-ha moment, teary-eyed moment, Nicholas Sparks movie.
Yeah.
You're going to see this.
Well, the thing with Nicholas Sparks is you just know someone in it is going to have some debilitating disease or some problem that they can't overcome, and that's going to lead to lots of kissing in the rain and tear-filled exchanges. Fuck Nicholas Sparks is what I'm saying.
Yes, that's about why. That's about right. Fuck that guy. I mean.
Okay, so I was going to say, what about like the evolution of Troyas? Because like older Troyas, for example, tended to have a lot more narration involved.
Yeah, that's kind of become
you're talking about this
now, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why, like I said, part of the idea of this podcast came from our discussion last week on the Avengers. And a lot of them used to kind of have somebody explain the entire premise of the movie to you.
The guy who did most of it, I forget what his name is, but who did a lot of the trailer narration through, like, I think the 80s and probably 90s, he got discovered from the London Underground because a movie producer was riding the tube and they heard him on the intercom thing, like, addressing the passengers, and then they said, oh, his voice sounds, you know, he's got one of those voices, so they decided to use him in a trailer. I don't know what the movie was either, but then he started like doing quite a lot of Hollywood trailers. So that's what I learned from my uni degree. That's like, yeah,
that piece of paper is, you can tell people you found somebody in a train station. But to a degree, some of those were kind of nifty in their approach. It was nice because they didn't feature so much dialogue from the movie. It was just kind of like the voiceover and clips. And then there was a brief period in the 90s, a very brief period from what I've seen. And this all comes from, I watch old trailers sometimes to get rules for our drinking games. And there was like a period of time where like, movies didn't have any type of, it was just like a music number. It was just like music and then like scenes from the movie put to the movie.
Yeah, I remember that period. That was weird.
It's a very weird, because I watched some and I'm like, when did this trailer start? Is this like somebody's fan-made video or something? Because it looks shoddily done because you kind of expect something from a movie trailer, not just music and clips. But, I know, for example, I think Super Mario Brothers had it, and I know Green Ninjas had it as well. And yes, these are the type of movies I watch.
You ever want to see interesting, do you guys ever watch TCM, the Turner Classic Movies, and how they show old trailers and movies sometimes, they introduce some of their movies on different points in time. And the trailers from the 40s, 50s, and so forth are a whole different beast than what we'd ever deal with today. Like Doris Day, Rock Hudson in Pillows, and it's much more like a focus, much more of a whole different beast. Like they show clips of the movie, but it's pretty much more. It's like especially certain stars, they go, "Here's this star, you're gonna go watch this." It's that's how the trailers almost work. It's kind of fascinating to see. Actually, they didn't really start getting much more dramatic with the trailers until. It almost seems like the 70s, 80s is when they really started playing with more of the trailer concepts than what they did. It was much more different beast. Like, it evolved over a period of, like, as movies started, they kind of evolved the movie trailer period.
I still think it's kind of evolved. I mean, even going back, I don't really think we used to have, like, nowadays you're kind of accustomed to the three trailer format where you get a teaser, you get a trailer one, and then you get a trailer near close to the production or release, I should say, of the movie. And I don't think that was a concept that we really had even like 10 or 15 years ago.
I need to go hunt down some 80s trailers just to kind of see one of these days just how they did the trailers for some of this stuff, because
I think that free trailer thing girl seems to have become more prominent through studios releasing trailers more online first, you know, before.
I think it is kind of the internet thing where you kind of need to get hype going early because you can get lost in the shuffle. So it's kind of like, we'll kind of get this out so that early word's out. And I think it's especially brilliant in the comic book industry because of how it's set up. Because usually the big thing, San Diego, which is usually a year before the next summer. But you can't have something then and then kind of have, like, nothing to do for the next year. So you kind of have something at the end of that first year, like December or early January, you should get something. And then finally you get something.
I think we're getting a Man of Steel trailer soon as well, aren't we?
I think
bet
it's
we
supposed
are.
To be with Men in Black. No.
It would not surprise me if it was on Dark Knight.
Yeah, that's what I was... I would do that.
Because... And also, I mean, even nowadays, like, I'm going to go back a little bit to our comedy. It's like, a lot of the comedies and some, they actually do the Red Band trailers now for the internet. So, like, for the R-rated movies, they do the Red Band, which is pretty much the more uncensored version of the movie trailer that they're getting in theaters. And, like, I stumbled upon, like, I saw the, Love or Hate Here, kids, the Ted trailer.
Yeah,
the Red
I was
Band,
just
going to
mention
one.
That, actually. Yeah.
And it's like, and it's like the main trailer, it's much more like beat, beat, beat. The Red Band trailer's all beats, but much more like, actually a little more detailed than the actual trailer.
Considering it's Seth MacFarlane, it doesn't
matter. Yeah, that's what's crazy about it. Like, okay.
It's quite funny though. There's in one of the Star Wars films, in the opening scroll, he said, "I only just did this, made, you know, one of the Family Guy Star Wars films." I think it might be either Empire or Jedi, and he mentions in the opening crawl, he said, "I only did this for Fox so they would fund my movie," and Ted is actually the movie that he wanted funding for, so that's why he made one of the Family Guy Star Wars sequels. So
that's funny.
You can find the wikis for that one.
Yeah, what else am I trying to think of? I'm trying to think of what other things we do in trailers nowadays, but it feels like they're all kind of the same. I mean, you know, you got the Harry Potter movement now. Well, I guess I don't think it's necessarily Harry Potter, but the whole thing where you have to have these big cuts with these giant words coming into the screen at you. Harry Potter started with, like, the epic conclusion or what, the most anticipated ending
the
of all the generation.
The most anticipated movie of your entire life.
I don't think that necessarily started with Harry Potter.
Yeah. I don't think it started with... I assume Lord of the Rings probably... I don't remember the Lord of the Rings choice, to be honest.
Lord of the Rings trailers always were... I can kind of sort of remember it. They were much... They really did push the... It's Lord of the Rings! Epic!
Lord of the Rings! They pushed the imagery more than anything.
Yeah,
fact,
they didn't really...
This is going to be a real stupid nitpick on my part. But I liked all the Lord of the Rings trailers a lot. Especially the one for, I believe it was... Return of the King, where they use the Requiem for Dream music in it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Two Towers trailer, they actually showed you that Gandalf came back. And I was like, no! That should be a giant thing the audience doesn't know about!
Mm.
Like, they do this thing where they, like, cut to black. Like, I imagine this thing where they have the trailer just as it is, because there's only, like, two shots in the trailer of Gandalf. If they showed it as it is and just cut out the one shot, and just had it cut to black and say, I come back to you now at the turn of the tide. And everybody in the audience go, oh, at the same time. But they're not show it. So they'd be like, wait a minute. So, move along.
Nick, it's quite funny you say that, actually, because I remember when we watched, after we watched The Fellowship of the Ring, and then my dad turned to me and said, oh, he comes back in the next one. So I'm like, oh, thanks a lot.
He's dad.
I know. And then, well, there. Yeah.
Maybe he wanted you to watch the TV show.
If you see a Star New Hope, and you just look at... By the way, he's his dad.
Okay. I guess going forward, like, what were some of your favorite movie trailers recently?
I have a favorite trailer for a film where the film wasn't really that good, and it's the first trailer for Superman Returns, which I think is a really great trailer, because you've got the Marlon Brando narration over it and some really nice shots in there, and it gets you really excited. I don't actually think it says the word Superman in the trailer, it just relies solely on the crest at the end, and it's a really good trailer, but then the film came out and it was Superman Returns, so...
Yeah, I think a lot of people are actually a huge fan of that teaser trailer.
Mm.
I've heard some consider it one of the best comic book ones to date. Is that... A lot of them were actually pretty good. Like, the one where he's just... Is that the same one where he's just, like, listening to everybody on the Earth? And he...
When he's in space.
Yeah.
Good trailer.
And he winks at the audience and he flies down to Earth.
Yeah. And then
it's pretty badass. Uh-huh. But like you said, they had to go and make the movie come out.
Mm.
So, another one. I actually think the Batman Begins stuff was pretty good. A lot of the comic book ones are decent at doing what they need to do. I mean, I guess the Nolan ones are good. Superman Returns is good. X2 I mentioned before. The Spider-Man ones were good. I don't remember 3 that much. And I know 1 has shots that aren't in the actual final. Well, the teaser isn't in the actual movie.
Yeah. And the teaser was, banned.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, with the Twin Towers when he catches the helicopter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I remember enjoying the Green Lantern one, but that movie ended up being...
I didn't like any of the...
Yeah.
Partly because there's the CG. It never looked good.
The Bond stuff is usually pretty decent.
Yeah.
That was a trailer that I think...
They did really good with those trailers. I will say, those Bond trailers, they did a pretty dang good job with.
Like, the new one, the Legacy one, where with the way... the lines are, like, going through the screen, so you don't see much of the full image. That's quite cool. And it's something they've carried on with the posters as well, so...
Yeah, I think the Casino Royale one was pretty good from what I remembered.
Yeah, that was... Casino Royale, the Quantum of Solace one was actually pretty good, too.
Yeah, the Quantum of Solace trailer was good.
I mean, if nothing else, I've become really addicted to that iteration of the Bond theme song.
Mm.
It's my favorite version now. I'm trying, like, I think part of it, though, is also that we just kind of get Troia overload. I mean, within the last week or two, we've had something like a dozen Troias for various different movies, and I can't remember any of them I've seen. I mean, Batman, Spider-Man's easy, what was it, all
Prometheus as well, the Prometheus trailers.
That trailer!
The first
The first two. I haven't seen the more recent ones because spoilers, so...
Yeah, the most recent one seems to just kind of go out of its way. I mean, granted, it could be that it's just like the middle portion of the movie, but it does seem to give you a lot of beats in a row.
Nick, have you seen the viral video with Fassbender?
Yes.
Yeah, that's quite awesome.
I haven't seen the most recent one with Noomi, but...
No, I've not watched that one yet. Mm.
I've seen the Expendables 2, Troy, and I honestly don't remember what happened in it.
Meanwhile, on the way to the retirement home.
So, I mean, do you folks...
I'm going to go watch Expendables 2, and I'm going to hate myself after for it.
I'll watch it, too. I'll be right there with you.
Yeah, I watched the first.
I still have the first one.
I still kind of have hope that they'll get... I mean, you would think it's an easy enough formula. All of those guys have been in movies like that before. It's a brainless action movie, and they're trying to give it heart. It just doesn't work.
They have to be careful with what they do with Chuck Norris as well, because they could just ruin his Facebook punchline forever if they're not careful with Chuck Norris. Because that's all he is now, isn't he?
Facebook punchline has been ruined for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But yeah,
I will never forgive the Expendables for moving their release date to the same weekend as Scott Pilgrim and thus dooming Scott Pilgrim's box office.
Why I haven't seen the Expendables to this day. It's a partial sort of, damn it, because instead of Expendables, like, oh, Scott Pilgrim comes out this weekend. Oh, it's up against the
Expendables be that great either?
I will also, yes it did, I will also never forgive the Expendables for being terrible. So
that's more of the unforgivable crime.
Yeah.
I mean, I figured like it has all these great 80s action movie stars, and the one thing they decide not to put in this movie is action. And I'm just like, what part of the script did you say like we have to give Cy Stone some romantic elements because that's what the audience came to see as a guy who's
for goodness sake the freaking A-Team movie. It's like here, it's the A-Team. They pilot a tank in the sky. Boom.
Yeah, that was also the year we kind of had that overkill, because we had Red,
Losers.
And we had Losers, so it's like, come on. And all of those were pretty much over the top compared to the...
Red was awesome. I loved Red.
Red was the best one out of the four.
Red was so much fun.
The Expendables is the most grounded one of those four movies.
And it should have been just freaking ridiculous. But everyone that told me they've seen it, it's like, they were, like, it's always funny, anyone who's ever told me they've seen The Expendables, they always go, a deep sigh afterwards.
Yeah.
Moving back to trailers, I might get hated a bit for saying this, but the Watchmen trailer was actually quite good with the Smashing Pumpkins playing over it.
I don't remember.
That was actually a good trailer. That was really good.
Because another good one. I don't know if it was that one or if it was a different one. They had like music. It was from a Philip Glass score. Transitions into a Muse song.
Oh yeah,
trailers for Watchmen were pretty badass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Again, the movie didn't live up to that, but. It happens. I'm trying to think of any other I can't even remember what I've seen recently.
Recent trailer that I loved a lot was Looper.
Yes.
Like, I thought that was a very well constructed. It was enough to give you the premise of the movie, and that's it.
I don't know
anything else about that movie other than the premise, and that movie trailer didn't change that, which is great. But it still looks like exciting, and it looks cool as hell.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things, because I believe it's the first trailer for the movie, and that movie's out in what, August, September?
September.
Yeah, so it's probably not going to get another one. It's kind of like one and done.
We'll get closer to it, probably in the next couple months.
But the other thing, and this has nothing to do with trailers, but it does kind of do with movie promotions, is sometimes they kind of release like those 10-minute clips nowadays online. Like, I remember X3 had, like, a 10-minute...
yeah, I remember that.
Had a 10-minute clip. And I remember
John Carter had that as well.
Yeah, well, that was after the movie flopped. Disney came out and it kind of, like, here's, like, a 10 or 15-minute clip of the best scene in the movie, from what I hear.
Which is quite funny, because the clip's from when he's not on Mars, he's still on Earth.
Well, if Disney knew how to market it, it wouldn't have been their biggest flop to date.
I feel bad, because I did want to see that, but I never went. But I'm going to watch it on Blu-ray.
I forget where it is, but apparently they're having some type of drive-in special double deal with Avengers, and it's increased the, I guess week-over-week box office by, like, 1,000% or something insane like that. So that's cool to know. I guess on the flip side, before we begin wrapping, are there any Troyas that you really hated?
Well, I never really talked about the ones I liked.
Oh, so why do you think which were the ones you liked?
Yeah, well, there's one specifically which will come as no surprise, which is the one for The Fountain, which is one of my favorite movies, which I wrote about for the site. And the trailer for that is cut so amazingly to the piece of music Clint Mansell wrote for the movie, that, like, it cuts, because obviously, if you've seen anything, you know it involves different timelines and the actors playing different characters within those timelines. And it cuts through a couple different scenes. Like, it's the same shot of Rachel Weisz head-on through her three different characters all saying the same line, and it's cut so perfectly. Yeah, I would suggest looking up trailers for The Fountain. They're pretty great. That and Requiem for a Dream, another Darren Aronofsky does really good trailers. There was another, the trailer for Magnolia, where it's just the actors talk, like, introducing themselves as the character. What was it? It was one of the Wes Anderson movies I really, really liked. Might have been Royal Tenenbaums trailer.
That was a good trailer, I remember that one.
Royal Tenenbaums is a great movie, period.
Okay.
Trailers I hate, all of them.
I can't think of one I hate. I don't know.
There's one. It's the thing is, I don't hate the trailer itself. I just hate the movie they're going for.
Yeah.
Like, if the trailer does not succeed to make me excited for the movie, why should I give a shit?
Yeah, I mean, has there ever been a trailer you didn't like for a movie you ended up enjoying?
Not really.
Not that I can remember.
I don't think I ever got to say the trailers I liked. I'll say one trailer. I can't think of any trailer I really hate, but I remember I loved the Grindhouse trailers. I freaking love those.
Mm-hmm.
The trailers for the Grindhouse movies themselves. And then, of course, and I know
the
this doesn't count, but the trailers in between the movies were freaking amazing.
Well, some of them have come to reality. So.
Yeah, Machete!
Machete, and apparently Thanksgiving is still going to be a thing.
Machete's trailer. Oh my god, that movie. That trailer was so freaking ridiculous, but I loved it so much. Movie itself was pretty ridiculous, but I loved it so much, so... I was just remembering while we were talking, while you guys were talking, I liked the trailer for The Prestige when they did that one. That was actually a really cool little trailer when they did that back in the day. I can kind of remember that. I was like, that was actually a really cool trailer.
There's one more teaser trailer I want to mention, actually, before we
go for it.
Go on. I can't remember what film. I think it was before, they showed it before, Iron Man. And it was the teaser trailer for the J.J. Abrams Star Trek film when it shows you them building the Enterprise with the Leonard Nimoy narration over it. And there are actually clips that aren't in the film either. And it was a pretty cool trailer for when with, like, this new take they were doing on Star Trek. And it was quite cool. I like that trailer.
I can't wait for the Star Trek 2 trailers when they start getting ready. Because that will be, like, a very happy day for me.
After The Dark Knight Rises, that's one of, like, my most anticipated movies, so I can't wait to start it too.
Same here.
Okay. So, I mean, unless we have anything else to talk about, I think we can start wrapping. Okay.
yeah, we...
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a fun topic. short and sweet and to the point. Hopefully this weekend we're gonna start our guest host spot. I think Essie's up first, mm-hmm. and then these three can play rock, paper, scissors for the remaining weeks. And if I do my math right, I believe that takes us through episode 99, so we have to find something special to do for episode 100.
Are we gonna have variant covers for issue 100?
We're gonna actually just reboot the entire podcast. Yeah. The first 99 never happened, so we can do the same topics over again. We'll probably, you know, modify it a bit so people kind of get new and excited about it, but we're just gonna reboot it all.
And I'll
Nerds on the Rocks New 52.
Yeah, no, I'll be the British guy. Anthony can be the asshole from Philadelphia.
And we'll put Wesley in a skimpy outfit.
What? Wait. I am the one that is called the shut up. I am the one who is represented by the Shut Up Wesley clip on Star Trek Next Generation, as Ashley so deftly put it on Twitter one day when I was like, "Hey, why am I the pick? Like, Wes, this is why. Shut up, Wesley." I'm like, "Yeah, that's what I'm represented by."
Now you can go from the butt of jokes to the sex appeal of this show.
I don't want to. Well, actually, no. Wait.
Let's be honest. I'm the sex appeal of this show.
See, Nicholas is a rock and roll star. He's technically the one that you know the ladies like. So
I'm the rock star who looks like David Tennant. Everybody wants me.
I prefer just being the guy observing everything and having his own good time watching everyone else just do their thing.
Yes, but during a reboot, we have to make it new and exciting.
I'll be the shade.
You'll be the shade?
I'll be the shade. I'll be the guy with the little-known but well-acclaimed limited series that's happening in the background and everything else.
It's boring. We need excitement. We need drama. We need a reason for people to come back.
We need redesigns by Jim Lee. That's what we need.
Yes, we do. I think more lines on my costume. I think more lines.
Just for the record, if we ever got Jim Lee to do redesigns, I don't care what for. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. we need him as a guest, though. We don't. That's not right.
I call dibs on Morrison and Cameron Stewart doing my book.
Okay, I'll take Scott Snyder and Greg Capa. Right. How do we pronounce his name?
Earl, would you be jealous if I said I was meeting Scott Snyder at the weekend? Snyder at the weekend. And I felt
I've met Scott Snyder before.
Oh, okay.
He was at Comic-Con last year. I also met Kevin Conroy, who's much more impressive to me. But yes, that will do it for our movie choice discussion. So for Nicholas, Anthony, Wesley, and myself, this has been Nerds on the Rocks, episode 95.
A toast. Establishing me as the wealthy, successful protagonist. Who is handsome?
Member of the grandparent.
Ambient. Friendly concern that something may be missing from your life.
Confidence that nothing is missing in my life.
Interrupted statement about
reassurance that my good fortune will not waver.
Introduction of characters suffering from the most topical disability of the present year. Said retard is now under your custody.
My catchphrase!
Frustration with these new circumstances.
Admiration at your seeming selflessness.
Interest in your bold rejection of social norms as evidenced by your dyed hair.
My name.
Catchphrase.
Relief at having found meaning in my life.
Friendly concern that a string of heightened and seemingly unrelated plots may now arise.
Dude, differences are surfacing between us.
Accusations about your sexuality.
Suspicion that a character once thought trustworthy may not be trustworthy. Also, I've got to use tough love to help this Latin American teenager believe in himself. Also, I must prove innocent this incredibly humble human male.
Also, I've decided to fight with the Native American metaphor against the American military metaphor.
Lead females, nay!
Naive.
yet inspiring statement. And then the music gets hopeful.
Specific outlining of your major character flaws. Overreaction.
Friendly black optimistic advice.
Passionately! Whispered repetition.
This scene doesn't make it to the final cut of the movie.
Inspiring final lines of a speech that douchebags will quote in their Facebook profiles! Yeah!
Explicitly stating the moral of the story and awkwardly working in the movie title.
Oh, catchphrase!
It's not going to be entirely a dramatic film, because we laughed there.